Message. Hope you have your Bibles. We're going to talk about gifts from Jesus this morning. Amen. Ida, would you get me the water, please? Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Grab your Bibles, whether paper Bible or electronic Bible, any way you want to. And we're going to talk this morning about gifts from Jesus. In three different areas, as we're going to see in just a minute. So we had this water baptism on the past Wednesday. It was a step of obedience for you, and it was a step of faith, right? It was something that you said, "Okay, I should do this." You obeyed and you stepped out in faith, and God had already done something inside of you, and then by your actions, you were showing outwardly what God had already done on the inside. And what we're going to talk about this morning is related to water baptism, but to other things as well, because as we talk about these gifts from Jesus, we're still in the time period, in the time frame when this is related to water baptism, because he had talked about one of the first steps of discipleship is to be baptized in water. It's good to understand fully about water baptism, but the Bible's very clear that when we believe, we obey and we're baptized. It doesn't have to be 6 months. It doesn't have to be, let's make sure that they are Christians. And so you were baptized in water. And so as we look at this today, as we talk about gifts of Jesus, we're following along with Jesus. He has been raised from the dead. If we're going back 2,000 years ago, he is raised from the dead on the third day. He's with his disciples for about 40 days, and then he disappears from their sight. He goes up, and then the clouds hide him, and he's gone. They don't know how long he's going to be gone. They didn't know he was really going to leave them. They thought, well, he's here now, and he's with us. And they don't yet fully understand everything. If you're following along in the church calendar, this Thursday is Ascension Day. It's the day that that historically Jesus returned to heaven. If you go back 2,000 or so years, and as we look today and talk about gifts from Jesus, we're going to talk about three types of gifts, three areas of gifts that have to do with his death, with his resurrection, and with his ascension. And these three gifts are for every single person here this morning. So each one of these has something to do with you this morning, all three of them. And as we look at these, you can follow along, take notes if you want to, but they're, as I said, related to his death, resurrection, and ascension. So if I'd had time, I would have wrapped a gift and brought it this morning, but didn't have time. So how many of you has anyone received a gift in this last week? Anyone? You did? Marianne did? Ida did? Anybody else? Okay, let me ask you, Marianne and Ida, did you have to qualify for the gift? Yes or no? No. Did you have to work for it, Marianne? You didn't have to work for it. Ida, did you have to work for it? No. It was just given to you, right? So as we talk about gifts, here's something I want us to see this morning as we look at these three gifts. You don't have to qualify. You don't have to work for. You don't have to be worthy. A gift is given and it's received. That's the nature of gifts. So let's look at a scripture that you know very well that points to this, okay? Paul writes to the Romans, this verse you know very well, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Do you know what that tells us when we talk about gifts and wages? Everything that you and I have done to try to qualify to please God, apart from Jesus, apart from his righteousness, apart from what he has done, it does no good. All the works that we have done. And Paul says the wages of sin is death. The best that we can do earns us death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So that tells us a little bit about it, but I want us to look at the first gift this morning, the gift of salvation, okay? So the gift of salvation. Some of you who've been in church a long time, you're going to say, Pastor Jennifer, this is kind of basic and kind of elementary. Guess what? We're going to be going over some elementary things again as we go through this, because you know what? We have a lot of new people in the church. We have a lot of young Christians in the church. So it's good for us to look at this. So let's look at Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Paul writes about the gift of salvation or of eternal life. And look at what he says. This is a very modern translation. Ready? God saved you by his... you can read with me if you'd like to. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. The way that we begin our lives with God is the way that we continue our lives with God. It is not something that we've done. You haven't measured up. You haven't done the best you can. And then God qualifies you, and then God saves you. I always go back to the picture, to the image of Jesus on the cross. There he is. He's hanging. There's a thief on either side. These two thieves, I don't know if you've thought about this before, but the thieves on either side are equally wicked. They're equally bad. They're equally deserving of punishment. They're receiving the same punishment. They're both being crucified. One continues to mock Jesus and says, "Oh, save yourself and save us too. Get us off this cross." And then the other thief says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says to this one, "This day you will be with me in paradise." What did that thief do to qualify for salvation? What did that thief do to deserve forgiveness? What did that thief do to receive the gift of salvation? He just said, "Jesus, remember me." What a simple prayer. What a simple prayer. Brother Roy, may I share the story about your dad, because I think it's a testimony of grace. Brother Roy's dad passed away about a week ago now, right? And Brother Roy's dad had not been a Christian. And Roy had tried to share with him over the years. And shortly before he passed away, Roy was able to share, I think, three different times, right? He really shared with his dad. And then right at maybe the last time he shared, I think your dad said something like, "Well, okay, I believe, I accept. But it still seemed a little bit reluctant, didn't it? It didn't seem wholehearted, right? It didn't seem, "Oh, yes, I'm a sinner, God, I believe." It didn't seem that way. And he passed away, maybe in the night or in the early hours of the morning. And when they came into the room and they found his dad in the bed, this is how they found his father. Lying in the bed. I believe that is evidence of salvation. God is not willing that any should perish. Listen, it's not that hard to get saved. It's not that complicated to get saved. It's not that drawn out. You don't have to come to the front and say a special prayer. God is not willing that any should perish. And when I heard what Brother Roy shared about his dad, I think of the thief on the cross. So simple. Remember me today. You'll be with me in paradise. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, "Today, today you'll be with me." It is a gift from God. It is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Now, as we're talking about this, already this morning, I know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of your hearts. And so this morning, you're going to have a chance to receive the free gift of salvation. Really, really simply. You are. This is one of the free gifts that God gives us. Let me show you another picture of this. On the night that Jesus, the evening then when Jesus is raised from the dead, look at these disciples. You know what I think? I think if anybody could have been scolded and disqualified, it would have been these disciples. I'm serious, right? Take a look. They were his disciples. They had heard the report that Jesus is raised from the dead. They'd heard the testimony. There were angels. His body was not there. They remember Jesus had said, on the third day, I will rise from the dead. Look at these guys. I'm serious. Look at these guys. They were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of, who were they afraid of? Jewish leaders. They're afraid of Jewish leaders, and their leader, Jesus Christ, has just defeated sin, death, and hell. And they're afraid of the Jewish leaders. Jesus stands among them. Peace be with you, he said. And then it goes a little bit further. And then look at verse 20. He showed them his wounds. They were filled with joy. And then look at what happens next. Verse 22. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. I believe there are a lot of different people. They say, well, it's this or it's that. I believe this is a picture of salvation. This is a picture of salvation. Now, let me give you another verse. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:45. The scriptures tell us Adam, the first man Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. He became a life-giving spirit. When do we see it? We see it the night of his resurrection. He breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Until that moment, until Jesus breathes on you, you and I are dead spiritually. We're dead spiritually. My good work can't save me. My good deeds can't save me. My offerings can't save me. My helping other people can't save me. My coming to church can't save me. Only Jesus can save me. And it's a free gift from God. Now, some of us, you've heard me talk about this before, but especially for the newer ones, I want you to see this beautiful picture of what God does when he gives us life. Here we have the New Testament, and Jesus comes to his disciples, who should be scolded, but instead Jesus just says, here I am, peace. And he breathes on them, and they are made alive. Does that remind you of anything in the very beginning of the Bible? Does it? What does it remind you of? Genesis. God made man. He formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. This is the heart of God always. God brings life where there has been death. He brings light where there has been darkness. He brings hope where there is despair. He brings a pathway when we are in the wilderness. This is what God does. And if you are a Christian this morning, this is what he has done for you. If you are not yet a Christian this morning, this is what Jesus wants to do for you this morning. And this gives us a beautiful picture. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute before we go on to the next gift. Look at this picture. He is God. He's God, folks, right? Couldn't God have said, boom, speak, and make a man? Don't you think he could have said one word? He could have thought it, and poof, out of the dust, a man would have arisen. Couldn't God do that? He's God. That's how he's made everything else in creation. But when it comes to man and woman, God says, let us make mankind like us in our own image. And I want you to get the picture, because that's the language here. That's the language. Can you imagine God kneeling down? I don't know if he knelt, but it's the picture. Kneeling down in the dust and with his hands. You say, he's God. Yes, he's God. But this is the picture, right? Kneeling down and with his hand taking dust. How does dust stick together? With water. So maybe it was a little bit muddy. I don't know. And he puts man together personally, individually, uniquely. And then he breathes life. Does that tell you something about how God loves you? About how God cares about you? About how God values your life. You are not cookie cutter. You are not a number to God. You are not one of billions and billions in this world. God has made you, and he's made you like himself. His heart is upon you. His love is upon you. Salvation is for you, because the enemy came in and destroyed what God had done. He destroyed God's handiwork. And then God said, but I'm going to get back what the devil destroyed. And he sent Jesus. And Jesus the Son said, I'll go. There were no orders in heaven. It was all by will. It was all by choice. It was all by love. And Jesus came to earth for you. And what the devil had destroyed, Jesus restored. And that's what he's doing today. Some of you are, pardon me, some of you are so messed up. Right? Not because of, maybe because of choices we have made, but so often because of things that have happened to us that we had no say in. We're messed up, aren't we? This has happened to us. That has happened to us. The enemy has gotten in, and we're so messed up. Listen to what Paul says, the words of God. For we, this comes after those verses we just read, for you are God's workmanship. And when you say yes to Jesus, and he leans down and breathes life into you, you become God's workmanship. Don't you love this? Look at this beautiful word, this word workmanship. It doesn't just mean cookie cutter, again. It doesn't just mean in a factory stamped out along with thousands of others. Workmanship. What is workmanship? It's the hands of God on your heart. It's the hands of God in your life. It's the hands of God in those broken places, making you like himself. Taking what the enemy bent and twisted and broke. And God says, no, I breathe my life into you, and you are my workmanship. And then I've got a plan for you. Created us anew, in a new way in Christ. That's what God does. That's what God does, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Now, don't get hung up here. It's not about good works, but it is about fruitfulness in our lives, right? It's about fruitfulness, because God is fruitful. God is doing things. God is making good happen. Let me give you some examples of that. Julia, praying for her friends. Good works that God planned long ago for you to do. Ampi, where's Ampi? Ampi is scared. She thinks I'm going to put her on the spot. I'm going to say something good. Out of the blue, Ampi, who is so very quiet. She is. She's always smiling, but she doesn't always say a lot. She writes a message on the Lighthouse WhatsApp prayer, right, Keith? Out of the blue. And it spoke to Keith's heart. And it spoke to Keith's life. And it spoke to Keith's situation. And it did something miraculous in his heart and in his life. The good works that God planned long ago for you to do. Now, brothers and sisters, that's every one of us. That's every one of us. Keith wants to look back there and look at you, Ompi. I'm not so much trying to praise people, although I'm so grateful that you're doing the works that God called you to do. I'm trying to help us see God's plan for us. Every one of us, we think we are disqualified, but when we come to Jesus, he qualifies us, and he has good works and good things for us to do, whoever we are and whatever we are. So this is the gift of salvation. You think, well, you've gotten far from that. Stay with me. But you should be encouraged this morning. Are you encouraged? I hope you're encouraged this morning. Then I want to talk about, and this was possible, by the way, as you know, it was possible because Christ died, rose again, and went to heaven. Because he died, what does it say? Just remind you again, I love this verse. You don't notice it so much. He became a life-giving spirit. He became a life-giving spirit, and that is our salvation. Okay, real quickly, the next gift of Jesus is the gift of grace, okay? You say, well, yes, 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 I have grace. That is true, but I want to be very, very specific here. Are you ready? The gift of grace. Hang on, I don't even know where I am in my notes. I'm halfway through, and I have 8 minutes left. Look at Ephesians 4. So gift of grace. This is a little bit long, but stay with me and you'll see. I'm just going to touch on this. Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. But to each one of us, grace has been given, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I'm encouraged by that because Christ's gift is not like this, right? Christ's gift is like this and just keep on going, infinity, right? As the scripture says, when he ascended on high, this is when Jesus went back to heaven, okay? He took many captives with him. He gave gifts to people. So here's the second thing, the second gift of Jesus, and it has to do with his death, resurrection, and ascension. What are these gifts that he gives to people? What are these grace gifts? Okay, look at verses 9 and 10. Christ came down to our world. The same one who came down is the one who went higher. And then in verse 11 and 12, I'm going quickly, but I just want us to see this. It was Jesus who gave gifts to people. He gave gifts to people. He appointed some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to prepare all God's people for the work of the ministry in order to build up the body of Christ. So here's the other part, the gifts. Now you look at this and some of you are going to say, well, I am excluded here because I'm not an apostle, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist, and I'm not a pastor and teacher, okay? Don't count yourself out. He gives four examples because pastor and teacher is actually one, it's one. One thing together, pastors have to be teachers because you have to feed the sheep, right? So I'm a pastor, but I'd better be a teacher because I've got to make sure you get fed, right? And you've got to feed, and I've got to give you good food that comes from God. But don't be discouraged because the point is he gave gifts to people. Now, what are some of these gifts? He gave gifts to everybody. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well and faithfully to serve one another. Are you doing that? Or are you a baby Christian and you say, I don't know what my gift is. I'm still a baby Christian, so that excludes me. Does not exclude you. As soon as you enter the family of God, God gives gifts to you. What for? To serve other people, to bless other people. How many of you have come to church on a Sunday morning and you run into somebody and you just say something that encourages them, and they feel better, right? That's a gift of grace. That's a gift of grace. Now, let me give you another one. 1 Corinthians 12:7, this verse. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can show we're really mature Christians and we're so holy and spiritual. Is that what it says? No. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. This is why, dear brothers and sisters, you need to get together with the family of God. This is why, if you're sick, stay home. If you're well, get to church. We don't get the spiritual gifts if we're isolated. We can't give the spiritual gifts if we're isolated. This is a gift of Jesus, okay? And I'm stressing this. You say, well, Pastor Jen, I like the first part, but this part doesn't feel so inspirational. It's true, right? This doesn't seem quite as inspirational. Let me tell you why I'm talking about it. Because it is a gift of Jesus. And as God is going to start doing things more and more in our church, it's not going to all come through me. And it better not all come through me. Our church is in trouble if the blessing and the gift and the grace of God only comes through me. We're in trouble. The blessing and the grace and the giftings of God must come through all of us. It must come through all of us. And so I invite you, when you walk out today, you just say, okay, God, the gifts of grace, the gifts of Jesus, Lord, I'm willing, I'm ready. I don't understand, I'm a little bit scared, but Lord, I'm willing for you to work through me and flow through me. Amen? I'm willing to bless others. Lord, would you bless others through me? That's what God has for us. That's one of the gifts of Jesus. Okay, now we're going to close with this. It gets more inspirational now. You weren't so inspired right there, right? I know you weren't. I could tell. Let's look at the last one. Ooh, I like this one. And we got to close with this one. The gift of the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor Jen, you've already talked about that because Jesus said he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That is true. This is different, okay? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking with his disciples before he goes, and he begins to talk with them. This is the night before he goes to the cross. This is the Amplified, and I want to read it here. So it's a gift of Jesus. It's also a gift of the Father. God the Father and God the Son give this gift together, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always working together. Now, look at what it says. John 14:26. But the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, I don't have enough fingers, the Standby, now I have enough fingers, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. And he will cause you to recall. He will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Jesus had just told them, I'm going to leave you. Can you imagine what the disciples were saying? No, no, Jesus, don't leave us. And what does Jesus say? I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And then he says, the Comforter, when he comes. Now, we look at this and we say, oh, that's beautiful. But you know what? The disciples understood when he said, but the Comforter, whom I will send to you from the Father in my name, in my place, they understood his language. And when Jesus said that, what he meant and what they understood was, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send another one of the same character, just like me, who's going to take my place. Some of you are scared of the Holy Spirit. Ooh, it's going to be weird. Is Jesus weird? Whoa, thank you, Stephen. No, he's not weird. As I've told you before, sometimes people are weird, but Jesus is not weird. What is Jesus like? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read it. Lovely, kind, healing, all of these things, all of these things. Don't be scared of the Holy Spirit. Don't be scared of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be just like me. He's going to be just like me. So time passes forward. He dies. He rises again. And he's just getting ready to go back to heaven. Acts 1, 4 and 5. Once when he was eating with them, this is just a few days before he goes back to heaven. We're coming to a close. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you something. Did they understand what this meant? Nope. Did they know what was going to happen? Nope. Did they know what it was going to feel like? Nope. Did they know what it was going to look like? Nope. Did they know when it was going to happen? No. They didn't know a lot. What they did know was Jesus said it. Listen, brothers and sisters, if Jesus said it, even if you don't understand it all, even if you don't have all your questions answered, you can trust Jesus. You can trust Jesus. And so Jesus says, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Oh, they've got questions. So the apostles, when they were with Jesus, so another time, they've been thinking about it, right? They've been thinking. And they said, but Lord, now what about this and what about that? Look at that. Look at that. And you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, I don't want to talk about that. More important is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Oh, well, I'm not a disciple. No, yes, you are. Well, I'm not one of the original 12. No, you're not. But you're a follower of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, in this world, with the enemy opposing you, in this world, with everything that we face, in this world, with the troubles and the storms that come our way, we need the power of God to live for God. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, in us, through us, for ourselves and for others. We live in a tough world. We live in a broken world. We live in a difficult world. How are you going to help people around you? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I'm sending you a gift. I'm sending you a gift. And it's a good one. It's a good one. It's a good one. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When, Lord? He doesn't say when. What's it going to feel like? He doesn't say. What's it going to look like? He doesn't say. But what he knows is they have said it. This morning, I urge you and I encourage you, if you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit, even if you don't have all your questions answered, do you know Jesus well enough to say, Jesus, I trust you and I believe that the gift you have for me is a good gift? Do you know Jesus well enough to say that? I hope so. I hope so, because Jesus saved you. Jesus saved you. And then look at this. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Wait. Jesus, wait. I had a question about this Holy Spirit. Jesus is gone. He's gone. He's told them all they need to know to receive the Holy Spirit and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the power of God. That's what they need. And so, what does it happen? You know this. On the day of Pentecost, 2 weeks from this Sunday, you're going to talk about this, right? The believers were meeting together. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a windstorm, filled the house. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. You say, ooh, is there going to be wind and fire? Those are symbols. But what does it say? And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. It is not what we make up. It is not what we copy from other people. It is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It is what the Holy Spirit does, and it is a gift. It's a gift of Jesus. It's a gift of Jesus. Peter begins to preach to the crowd. And he says, God raised Jesus from the dead. We are witnesses. Now he's exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, as Jesus had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of Jesus. If God is going to do what he wants to in your life, in my life, in this church, and through us, it is going to take the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Not because I said so, not because it's our church doctrine, but because this is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. Can I explain everything? I cannot. Do I know everything? I do not. Jesus does. And I do trust Jesus. Do you trust Jesus? If you're a Christian this morning, you've already trusted him with your life. You might as well trust him with the Holy Spirit in your life as well. So I'm going to close in prayer this morning. And I knew when I was preparing this message, it's an introductory message for the things that are ahead for us. Stephen, I don't know if there's a guitar. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. And I invite you with me to receive the gifts of Jesus. And just Jesus, I receive your gifts. It's the gift of salvation, the gift of grace that shows up, and it will show up to strengthen and help others, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, these three. Amen? Are you scared of any of them? It came from Jesus. It's coming from Jesus, right? It's coming from Jesus. And each one of these gifts, Jesus has these gifts, and he won them through his death and resurrection for you. That's why these are really precious gifts. It was through his death and resurrection and ascension. So they're really precious gifts. Jesus purchased them at great price for you. Jesus, we receive in faith and in obedience the gifts that you have for us. I cannot close this service without offering from Jesus the gift of salvation to anyone here this morning who has not yet received the gift of salvation. Now is the time. Jesus is here. And if you will say yes to Jesus right now, he will breathe into your heart and into your life. And he will say, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive life. And you will be made alive in your heart. So I invite you just to do that right now. That's between you and Jesus. I can help you to that point. But like Rebecca said, a little bit of push, but you've got to decide that. Jesus, this morning, may those who are here who have been touched by you and know that you are offering your salvation to them, may they say yes to you this morning. Jesus, remember me. Jesus, I come to you today. Jesus, breathe on me and make me alive on the inside. Make me your workmanship. Make me your workmanship, created new in you. And I will live my life for you from this day forward. I pray that for Christians this morning as well, who are already Christians. Oh God, put your hands upon me and make me your workmanship. Make me your workmanship. Change me. Heal the broken parts. The twisted, bent parts, Jesus, make them straight. Make them straight. And then work through me for the good works that you had planned for me to do. God, I know that there are people that I know that are just as messed up as I have been, but you've made me new. And Lord, if you can make me new, there's hope for them. So Lord, have your way. Have your way in my heart and in my life. And then, Jesus, we receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. We desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We desire that your power come upon us and in us and through us. Even though we don't understand it all, even though we still have some questions, Jesus, we don't have questions about you. We trust you. You saved us when we were a mess and didn't deserve saving. You saved us because you loved us. So Jesus, I trust you. I can trust you. I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. Would you lead me in receiving and being baptized in your Holy Spirit? I'm going to keep my heart open to you, Jesus. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to keep looking to you. I'm going to keep praying you until I receive the full gift and the full gifts that you have for me in my life. I pray this with all of my heart, and I mean it. I mean it. Here I am. Here I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.